Perhaps two if you count Elijah, although some argue that the same thing happened to him as happened to Moses. But Enoch didn't die. And what is the Bible's testimony regarding Enoch? Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. When God destroyed the world with the flood, every family on earth was destroyed except one, Noah's family. And what is the Bible's testimony of Noah? Noah walked with God. So it sounds to me like if we want deliverance and we want life, what do we need to be doing? Walking with God. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul wrote, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." Later in the same chapter, in verse 17, he goes on and says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds." We recognize that when we are walking with the Lord, our walk is going to be different from the walk of those who are in the world. Our walk is going to be different from the norm, if you will. In fact, as we consider this, we recognize that as we are walking and conducting and behaving ourselves differently from the world, we understand, as goes along with what we have been talking about all of this annual theme, in the beginning of our walk, God. God changes who we are. God changes how we behave. God changes our conduct. God changes our walk. In the beginning of our walk, not me, not you, not cultural norms, not societal ideas. In the beginning of our walk, God. And that's what we want to talk about this month as we continue our look at putting God in the beginning of everything that we are and everything that we do. Do you know what we call it when someone is walking with God? Do you know what we call that person? We call that person a disciple. And so this month we want to talk about discipleship. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through 20, Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." We understand that Jesus gave his apostles a mission to develop and make disciples. And that mission has come down to us. We are walking in their footsteps. Our goal and our desire is to develop and make disciples. We understand that disciples are people who honor God, who learn from God. A disciple is someone who loves like God. And I want to let you in on a little secret. We are actually tweaking our discipleship circle. We're changing things just a little bit here. Andrew's going to have much more to say about this at the end of the month on January 29th. But we know that a disciple points others to God, and we want to tweak that and recognize that a disciple leads others to God. This change, this adjustment, is not simply for alliterative value, although it is a whole lot easier to say a disciple honors God, learns from God, loves like God, and leads others to God. Doesn't that just flows off the tongue? But really, we're making this tweak because we want to realize this is a much more active and involved process. When we say a disciple points others to God, that's kind of like, "Hey, Andrew, go over there." Right? Isn't that what that is? Rather than me walking up to Andrew and being involved and grabbing him by the hand and let's walk together and lead to God. So we're going to talk more about that at the end of the month. That's what we're going to look at this month. At the beginning of our walk, God. What does a disciple do? A disciple honors God. A disciple learns from God. A disciple loves like God. A disciple leads others to God, all while abiding in God's Word. Each of our lessons this month is going to focus on a part of this circle, unpacking and digging deeper. On the 15th, we will have a guest speaker, Greg Chesser, who is a shepherd from the church in Beaumont, Texas, the Dallin Road congregation. He's going to be here leading our In His Presence singing. If you're our guest, mark it down. If you're our member, mark it down. January 14th, 7 o'clock, we're going to be in here with hundreds of people singing praise to God, edification to one another. On the 15th, Greg Chesser is going to be preaching for us. He's not going to be looking at our discipleship circle, but he is going to be talking about our walk as he talks about according to the pattern. So we're excited about that. But those four Sundays where Andrew or I are speaking, we're going to be unpacking our discipleship circle. And today, I want to talk about that first step, that first quadrant, because we know what it says in John chapter 15 and verse 8. In John 15 and verse 8, Jesus said, "By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." When we prove ourselves to be Jesus' disciples, we glorify God. Now, glorify is one of those great churchy words. Sometimes we say glorify here in church. We sing songs that have the word glorify in it. But let me ask you, how many of you this week on the job said anything to anybody about somebody or something being glorified? In fact, a lot of times when we use that word outside of church, it's not that great. Well, he's just a glorified whatever. So outside of church, we don't use that word a whole lot. There's another word that we do use in a lot of cases that conveys the exact same meaning. A disciple is someone who glorifies God, but one of the things that we highlighted is a disciple is someone who honors God while abiding in his word. I want to talk about that for a few moments this morning. I want to talk about honoring God. Now be prepared, because when we're done this morning, I'm going to issue a challenge. We're going to have an invitation like we always do. And of course, during that invitation, if you're not a child of God, I'm going to invite you to become a child of God. So if you're here today as a guest, I hope that something will prick your heart and mind that you'll want to be part of God's people. And I'm going to give you that opportunity at the end. But today's invitation is going to be slightly different in the fact that I am going to be inviting every single person to think about who they're actually honoring as we sing that song in the end. Who are we exactly exalting? That's the question we're going to be asking. And I am going to invite you and me to exalt God in new and greater ways. So be prepared. That's what we're going to be talking about today. I want us to look in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, beginning at verse 10. Because here we find David honoring God. And as we look at this passage, we're going to see the beginning, the middle, and the end of honoring God as we look at what David does here in this passage. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 10. "Therefore David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly, and David said, 'Blessed are you, O Lord, blessed are you, O Yahweh, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you, and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand, and is all your own. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here, offering freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts toward you. Grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart, that he may keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, performing all, and that he may build the palace for which I have made provision." Then David said to all the assembly, "Bless Yahweh, your God. In this passage, we see the beginning, the middle, and the end of honoring God. And a disciple is someone who honors God. Before we unpack that today, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Glorious God and Father, you are marvelous, majestic, magnificent. You are the great God, sovereign ruler of all the earth. You lift up and none can knock down. You build and none can break down. You fill and none can empty. You straighten and none can make crooked. You are the great God who created all things, who by the word of your power sustains life and breath in all things. We, Father, are your creation. We breathe the air that you have given. We live in the bodies that you have fashioned. We eat the food that you have provided. We walk on the earth that you created. We sing with voices that you have crafted. We pray with hearts that you have formed. We give from blessings that you have given. We preach and proclaim a gospel and a word that you provided. It is because of your grace and your mercy and your abundance that we are able to gather here to open your word, to study it, and Father, we pray to understand it and allow it to mold and change us. Thank you, God, for being our Lord. Thank you for letting us be your people. Almighty God, we love you. We love you so much. And we thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we consider the idea that a disciple honors God here in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, we see the beginning, the middle, and the end of honoring God. We need to understand first and foremost that honoring God begins with the heart. The beginning of honoring God is in the heart. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, if we drop down to verse 17, listen to what David said there in his prayer. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. And David declares, it's in the uprightness of my heart I have freely offered all these things. And now I've seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. What David is highlighting is that this is no going through the motions. They have not discovered a rule that they are ritualistically following. This is the overflow of a heart that is overjoyed with the God who has blessed them in so many wondrous ways. Honoring God is not just about checklisting some actions. Honoring God is about loving God, about the very center of our being and our heart and our mind, being attuned to the God who has blessed us, being overjoyed and overwhelmed by His blessing, and understanding that we are giving back to Him from what He has given to us. And having that heart in harmony with Him, that is where honoring God begins. God rebuked Israel in Isaiah chapter 29. In Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13, God rebukes Israel. The Lord said, Isaiah 29:13, because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me. Because of that, he says in verse 14, behold, I will again do wonderful things with this people, with wonder upon wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the discernment of their discerning men shall be hidden. Because their lips are near me. They're saying the right things. They're going through the right motions, but their heart is far away. Because of that, judgment will come. Jesus takes that up in Matthew 15 and verse 8. That exact same statement. We need to make sure that we are not like these Israelites. Not just saying the right things. Not just doing the right things. But having the right heart. In Ezekiel chapter 33. In Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 30. Again, God is rebuking Israel. He tells Ezekiel what Israel is like. We need to take care that we are not like this. Listen. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 30. Listen to this. This is amazing. As for you, son of man, he says to Ezekiel, Your people who talk together about you by the walls, at the doors of the houses, say to one another, each to his brother, come, hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. And they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear what you say. But they will not do it. For with lustful talk in their mouths they act. Their heart is set on their gain. And behold, you are to them like one who sings lustful songs with a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear what you say, but they will not do it. And when this comes, and come it will, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. The Israelites came and they went through the motions. They worshiped. They listened to the word of the Lord. They even talked about the word of the Lord. They even invited people and gathered folks together to hear the word of the Lord. But it was like a show for them. Dinner theater, if you will. And when it was done, they were done. We need to understand that the beginning of honoring God is the heart. The beginning is not coming to this room and going through some actions. The beginning is the heart. And yes, it is true. There is the time to force ourselves to do the right things and say the right things even when we're not feeling it. There is that time. But please understand that that time should be viewed like a crutch. You know, sometimes our leg is broken and we need crutches so that we can move around. But it was never intended to be the way we walked all the time. Sometimes we have to act as if. We show up because we know we have to. We sing because we know we have to. We pray because we know we have to. But it was never intended to be the way it was all the time. That's a crutch to get us through those broken moments. Honoring God begins with the heart. When we are in the middle of honoring God, we need to understand that honoring God is very simply this: exalting God and humbling ourselves. It's not really all that complicated. I really wanted to come up with a 7-point plan for honoring God, but it just comes down to this. We're in the middle of honoring God. We're lifting Him up. We're pushing ourselves down. Exalt Him, humble ourselves. Look at what David says in 1 Chronicles 29. This is one of my just favorite passages when it comes to adoration and praise and thanksgiving, because it so demonstrates the true need for honoring God. It so demonstrates that we don't honor God because He needs honor. We honor God because we need what we get from honoring God. We recognize that what honoring God is recognizing His role and His place in our lives, and also recognizing our role and our place in His. And getting that in the right order and the right perspective. Listen to what David says beginning in verse 10. Blessed are you, O Lord, God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. Now that's interesting for a king to say. Yours is the kingdom, not mine, yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. And you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. Do you hear the exaltation? I exalt you, God. You are the one lifted up. You are the one that gives wealth and might and power and strength. You are the one that holds it all in your hand. Not me, not him, not her, not them, you. Not us, you. Lifting God up. And then notice what he says about themselves. Verse 14. But who am I? And what is my people? But these really awesome folks who have done so much for you, God. Is that what yours says? Because that's not what mine says. David doesn't come to God and say, hey, do you see all this that we're doing for you? All this collecting and all this sacrificing and all this contributing. Aren't we awesome? Aren't we great? Aren't we amazing? God, aren't you so lucky to have us as your people. Because look at all this that we're doing for you. Surely, God, surely some of this ought to count for something. Is that what he says? No. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to thus offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. These things that we're doing here, God, we're just giving back to you what's yours. We wouldn't be able to give this if you hadn't given it to us first. What David recognizes is that what he offered didn't say anything about him. It said more about God. That is exalting God, humbling ourselves. Do we understand that? That honoring God means recognizing that he is everything and we're nothing. He is the sovereign and we are the subject supplicant. Then we honor God not because he needs his ego stroked and not because he needs something from us, because he has all. We honor God because we need what comes from honoring God. So the question then comes down to, who do we exalt? In what we do to honor God, who are we exalting? Are we exalting him and humbling ourselves? Or are we exalting ourselves and humbling him? I'd like you to think about some contrasts here. Just some things I'd like to share with you. Just seven. We're just going to I could write a whole sermon on each of these seven statements. Lucky for you, I'm not doing that today. We're just going to say them and you can ruminate on them. Write them down if I say them slowly enough and you have time. But here's seven things I want you to think about. So if you're on page three, there's not nearly enough room to write all seven, but there's a space there. You can write some of these down. Exalting God or exalting ourselves. We exalt ourselves. We exalt ourselves when we believe God needs our honor. We exalt God when we realize we need to honor God. We exalt ourselves when we believe God needs our honor. We exalt God when we realize we need to honor God. Second, we exalt ourselves when we believe we are giving something to God. We exalt God when we realize we are only giving to God from the abundance of his blessing to us. We are exalting ourselves when we believe I'm really giving something to God today. We are exalting God when we realize that all we are giving him is from the abundant blessing he has given us. Third, we exalt ourselves when we're trying to impress God. We exalt God when we are impressed by God. We exalt ourselves when we're trying to impress God. God, you see how often I went to church? We're exalting God when we are impressed by him. God, I couldn't be anywhere but church because you're so amazing. Boy, did you hear me sing? Don't I have a wonderful voice? I mean, of course, now I would never say that, but somebody might. Oh, did you hear me? God, did you hear me sing? God, I couldn't help but sing because of what you've done for me. Fourth, we exalt ourselves when we exalt him the way we want to exalt him. We exalt God when we exalt him the way he wants to be exalted. We exalt ourselves when we exalt him the way we want to. Oh, I just love doing this. I just love that. This is so beautiful. This is so great. Now listen, I understand as you're growing as a disciple, what you want will probably conform to what God wants. And that's great. But we need to understand that if I'm only doing it because that's the way I like it, I'm still just exalting me. We exalt ourselves when we exalt God the way we want to. We exalt God when we exalt him the way he wants to be exalted. Number five, we exalt ourselves when we honor him because we think that makes us deserving. We exalt God when we honor him because he is deserving. We exalt ourselves when we think that honoring him makes us deserving. Surely, God, I went to church every week, read my Bible every day, prayed to you all the time. Surely that should count for something. Exalting self. We exalt God when we honor Him because He is deserving. Number 6. We exalt ourselves when we think God should thank us for our worship. We exalt God when we thank Him for the abundance and the ability to be able to worship. We exalt ourselves when we think God should thank us for what we're doing. We exalt God when we're thanking Him for the ability and the opportunity and the abundance that allows us to honor Him. And finally, we exalt ourselves when we checklist a series of actions and believe we have worshiped. We exalt God when we humble ourselves in the very presence of God, magnifying Him by our every action. We exalt ourselves when we think, I did these 5 things, so now I've worshiped. We exalt God when we are humbling ourselves, no matter what we're doing, in His presence. We need to understand that in the middle of honor, when we are in the middle of honoring, what we are doing is exalting God and humbling ourselves. And in the end, we need to understand that honoring God impacts all of life. Honoring God is not an end unto itself in our lives. Honoring God has a purpose. Honoring God is supposed to impact us and change everything about us. There in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 18. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts towards you. David is recognizing that here in this moment, as we're honoring you, as we're collecting and contributing, we're doing something. God, we want you to make us like this all the time. Let this moment change us so that this is the way we are all the time. And then he gets specific and he talks about his son in verse 19. Grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart. Where does honor begin? In the heart. When the heart is honoring, he says, grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart that he may keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes, performing all. This is supposed to change us. It was supposed to change David. It was supposed to change Solomon. It was supposed to impact the people and all that they did and all of their lives. In Isaiah 58, God rebukes Israel again. Isaiah 58, verse 1. Cry aloud, he tells Isaiah. Do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with the wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I chose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break the yoke? And he goes on to describe this fast. What he points out to them is they were doing some right things. They were delighted to know the way of God. They were seeking Him daily. But it wasn't doing them any good. Why? Because it wasn't changing them. They saw honoring God as a means of personal gain. They were hoarding the blessing of God to themselves. It was supposed to change them. They were not experiencing the faithfulness of God and becoming faithful themselves. They were not experiencing the mercy of God and becoming merciful themselves. They were not experiencing the compassion and love of God and becoming compassionate and loving themselves. They were not experiencing the deliverance from God and becoming deliverers themselves. They were hoarding the blessings to themselves and wondering why God wouldn't just do more for them. It wasn't changing them. We need to understand that when we honor God, there's a goal. There's an end to that. Instead, it changes us. It changes our hearts and our minds, and it changes our lives. That having experienced the faithfulness, the love, the mercy, the compassion, the deliverance of God, that we ourselves become faithful, loving, compassionate, deliverers, channels of God's blessing. We are disciples who honor God. And so here in the Livingston congregation, when we think about honoring God, we're wanting to develop disciples. We're wanting to make all of us here and everyone that we meet into disciples and grow as disciples. Now the thing about that is that we can't, nor would we really want to, follow you individually around and force you and make you honor God the way you're supposed to all the time. So what do we do as a congregation to help grow this? To help develop this? Well, very simply, what we do is our Sunday assembly. We gather like this. We do it on the day that we call the Lord's. And as a community, we exalt God and humble ourselves. And each and every one of us is to learn from this experience and to take that with us so that when we individually are honoring God, we know what we're doing. We gather here as a community in order to exalt God in songs and in prayers, offering the fruit of the lips as sacrifice, as Hebrews 13 talks about. We gather here as a community of God's people to hear His word opened up and expounded and exposed so that we might be changed. We gather here to offer of our means from the abundant blessings that God has given us, not to build a physical temple, but to build the spiritual temple, Christ Church. And we gather here as a community to humble ourselves before the cross of Jesus Christ, participating in the supper of the Lord that we've already gone through this morning, to remind ourselves that there is one reason and one reason only that we're here this morning. And it's not because we're awesome. It's because Jesus Christ is awesome. We're here because He died on the cross, which gives us the access to the throne of God. And so we are here before that throne, casting down our golden crowns, lifting up and exalting God. Please understand, we do not have these assemblies because God wants people to be church attenders. We have these assemblies because God is looking for disciples. And what do disciples do? They honor God. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to honor God and exalt Him. And help encourage you to honor and exalt Him. And so I have a question for you as we wrap up. Who are you exalting today? In what we've done here this morning and what we're continuing to do for just the next few moments, who are you exalting? I know we've sung the right songs. We've said the right prayers. We've participated in the right memorial. I know we heard the right sermon. But have we exalted the right person? Only you can answer that for you. In just a moment, I'm going to invite folks who aren't children of God to exalt God, to sanctify them in their hearts, to become His children. But right now, what I want to invite you to do is take a few moments, because we're going to sing a song. And I know that song has the right words, right, Matt? I exalt thee. I know it's got the right words. I want to invite you to examine your heart. And in a few moments when we sing that song, to make sure that the one you're really exalting while you sing that is really God. Feel free to put your notes away. If you want to have the songbook, you can pull it out. It's number 66. It's going to be on the screen behind me. You can follow along there. I exalt thee. This is a relatively new one. We did it in our singing class. I think we got it down enough to make it a part of our worship to God as we honor and exalt Him here this morning. I exalt thee. We're going to sing it through twice. If you're not a child of God, maybe you decided it's a new year, I want a new me. You thought one of the things that you were going to do, I'm going to start going to church. And that's a great thing. I am so thankful that you thought that. That is wonderful. We are happy that you've made that choice. And we're glad that you chose to be here with us today. I know I haven't talked a whole lot about what you need to do to be a child of God. But maybe you've heard, and I'll summarize it. And if you have more questions, I'll be happy to talk to you about it afterwards. But God sent His Son Jesus into the world to die for you. You know, even though what we've talked about this morning is us honoring God, the reality is that God has already honored us. How many people do you know who for you sent their one and only to die for you? What an honor that is. He served you. He has honored you. And Jesus went to the cross to accept the wages of sin, which is death, on our behalf, so that we could have the gift of life that comes from God. If you haven't done it, I encourage you to exalt God by kneeling before His throne, surrendering to His kingship and His lordship. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Will you let Him be your Lord? Then turn your life over to Him in the watery grave of baptism. We've got water back here behind the screen. We'll raise that screen up. We'll take you in. We'll bury you in the water and raise you to walk in newness of life, exalting God the whole way. We're going to sing this song, and we're all going to stand up and make it easy for you to come down here. If you need to exalt God by becoming His child this morning, we'll invite you. As we get up, you go ahead and come on forward right down to the front right now as we stand and sing.